All right. I don't see any jumping. Looks okay.
It's fine.
I think it's fine. Yeah, I think it's fine. How, you talk a little bit.
Here, I've made this whole
you're jumping
new intro
here.
And
maybe pull your mic back.
So talked all over.
You're getting, when you talk, it goes kind
of. That's because if I get close and get loud.
Well, hey, don't get so close. Let's back off a little bit, buddy.
What if I just stay here?
Hey, everybody. It's a holiday edition of Action Features. You know we were going to try and get one up before the holiday.
You knew
we
were going to.
We actually did it.
Probably not going to talk about the holidays.
Probably not going to spend too much time talking about the holidays. I'm excited, though. It's Christmas time. This is my favorite holiday.
Christmas time! Christmas. We were trying to think of something, and actually we just couldn't come up with anything interesting enough to do. So
You're hitting the red a lot, just to warn you.
Man, what happened?
I don't know what's going on, but you're hitting the red a lot. So sorry if Mike's in your eardrums, folks.
All I'm saying is I'm a race car and I'm in the red. What's up?
I want to have a race car in the red. Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, what'd you say? He's so calm when he says it. Like, Jules is obviously.
Right now you got me in the red.
Jules is so obviously mad.
Yeah.
And Vince is back there. All I'm saying is he got me in the red.
This is a cool cat, man.
Oh, man, he's so
Vince
cool.
Vince Vega is so cool. Okay, so Christmas is Monday. We hope everyone has a happy holiday. This will go up tomorrow, I think. So I'm like, anything prevent me from getting it up. So
neither hell
we'll
nor high water.
Merry Christmas. And yeah, we do say Merry Christmas. Whatever holiday you celebrate, that's great. I celebrate Christmas.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas to you, Merry but Christmas whatever holiday you celebrate, happy holiday. Okay. So the big thing. Last Jedi has come out.
So we're going to talk about this in the latter portion before you turn us off just yet.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about this in the latter portion of the film.
That way,
of the show.
If you don't want a spoiler, but you still want to listen to the show, you want a little dose of Action Features before the holiday, you can have this portion of the show.
That's right.
And then turn it off before we get to the
review. There will be spoilers.
Yeah, because it's impossible to talk about it without spoiling certain things. It really is. Okay. So, let's cover some things that are non-Last Jedi related. Disney bought Fox.
Yeah.
Or at least portions of 20th Century Fox. That's huge, man.
They're going to have the X-Men.
They're going to have X-Men. They're going to have the Fantastic Four. Fantastic Four, I think there is still like one little chunk that's still with another distribution company or something. I can't remember. But I think there's some other movie studio that has a little piece of it still. But I think it's just a matter of working that out. And
they just have the,
that's nothing.
They just have the thing.
Yeah. They just have Alicia Masters, Ben Grimm's girlfriend. They have her.
It's a little piece of it.
So they can't use her. But man, this is both exciting news and at the same time worrying news, because less competition is not a great thing. If Disney has everything.
True. That's true.
You're going to see a lot less variety, I think, and studios trying different things and new films. Because if Disney just controls it all, it is worrisome that maybe everything will be kind of the same. And there's no reason to really strive for something different because they own everything and they release all the movies. So
see,
who knows? I mean, it was great with Marvel Studios. It's been awesome there. It's been something else with Star Wars right now. We're not going to talk about that too much. But the idea that the X-Men and the Fantastic Four could be folded into the Marvel Studios films, that's exciting.
Yeah.
Fantastic Four, it's easy. Just start over. There's no reason to even think about that last Fantastic Four film. And you've already erased the two other Fantastic Four films by doing that film. So just start over.
See if you can get it right.
See if you can get it right. Marvel probably could do it right. There's no reason that there should not be a great Fantastic Four movie.
I guess there's no reason why.
It's a great formula for a film. If you look at The Incredibles, just kind of take that formula and make it a Fantastic Four movie. I liked the Roger Corman movie. It's cheesy. It's got terrible effects, but it still tried to get it right. I don't really mind the two Fantastic Four films, the original one and Rise of the Silver Surfer. I think Dr. Doom is treated horrendously in those movies. I've said this before on the show, but I don't think that they themselves are terrible Fantastic Four movies. I couldn't even make it through the new one. The reboot version. But I don't think we have a really truly great Fantastic Four movie yet. We've got a mediocre one, an okay one, a terrible one. And Marvel might be able to do that, Marvel Studios. The interesting thing is going to be X-Men, though. Do you start over, or do you somehow try and rework this entire universe into Marvel? How do you do it? Do you do it as a different universe that has now been brought together, like an alternate dimension, and they're brought together? Because you know they're going to want to bring together. It wasn't the main reason that Disney bought Fox. That was to get all of the 20th Century Fox stuff for streaming. They wanted all of these movies and television series because Disney's starting its own streaming service, and they wanted to pull in more and more stuff to bite away from Netflix and Hulu.
Great.
That was the real motivation, that their streaming service would be the top one and have all the stuff Netflix and Hulu can't have now. But, of course, the X-Men Fantastic Four thing is a bonus, and they are going to fold them in. I mean, that's undoubtedly they will get folded in.
Well, it seems like Marvel Universe is pretty loaded.
Yeah.
If they did something like Guardians where it's its own thing but could
cross over.
Cross over from, you know, here and there.
Well, it would be tough now, though, when you've... Okay, so you have X-Men 1 and 2 and 3, and then you had First Class, and then First Class and Days of Future Past kind of rewrote things, so that way the X-Men 1, 2, and 3 that we knew didn't actually happen that way. So then they've started to forge like a new timeline that's now X-Men Apocalypse and Dark Phoenix. So now you've got that X-Men 1, 2, 3 timeline, and then the First Class, that timeline. So you already got two timelines, and now you're going to also say that those timelines were concurrently happening with what's happening at Marvel Studios, and these characters just didn't know that those other characters existed or something. That's going to be tough to try and make that work. The one thing that is kind of got it going for it, and Blaze reminded me of this, is that X-Men Apocalypse, I think that takes place in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm guessing Dark Phoenix will be in the 90s that'll take place in. So we are in a time where you may be building up to this all happening before the Marvel characters even show up. Because all those movies since First Class have kind of taken part in the past before the Marvel Cinematic Universe stuff started. So in that way, maybe you can make it work. But the big thing is Hugh Jackman.
I was about to say, let's get to the real question.
That's the big question.
What are they going to do about Wolverine?
He said it, I think he said it jokingly, but he made the comment that the only way he would come back is if somehow the X-Men got into the Marvel Studios films. And now it is. Right. So everybody's saying, well, now will he come back? I don't think he's going to come back.
Gotcha, Hugh Jackman.
I don't think he's really going to come back. I think I was just joking around.
As much as I like him, I really, you know, Logan was a really nice way to wrap it up, and I wish that people could just leave things alone.
Yeah, I agree. I think that Logan is a perfect ending.
And let that be it. Now, of course, they sort of made him up to be a little bit older then, and he could easily you know, be a younger Wolverine, but...
It's almost like a cop-out, though.
It is, because you had his career. It was the end of his career as Wolverine also. So I think the only thing to do is to bring back somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't think of anybody. Of course, they could pull somebody out of nowhere. That would be great.
Danzig.
Glenn Danzig.
Pull Danzig from like 1987, somewhere around that range. That is the thing, too, though, that the Hugh Jackman Wolverine deal and how nobody wanted him recast as Wolverine, that may be a good motivation to just start over. If you're going to do X-Men Marvel Studios films, just start it over. That way his Wolverine exists in that universe of the 20th Century Fox X-Men films.
Yeah, don't bring back Happy Berry as Storm.
Yeah, all that is just its own thing. Maybe start over with everybody X-Men. Just start the whole thing over again. Because that would be a good excuse then to bring in a different Wolverine, a different version of him. One that's not just, here's another character playing, or another actor playing Hugh Jackman's Wolverine.
Yeah.
This is a whole new, different Wolverine.
Hugh Jackman.
That the Hugh Jackman still exists in those 20th Century Fox films. Just like the Tobey Maguire Spider-Mans, that Andrew Garfield wasn't playing Tobey Maguire Spider-Man. He was playing a completely different Spider-Man. And now this new kid's playing a completely different Spider-Man. Yeah. The only way it would work for a new actor to play Wolverine is if it's not trying to pick up a piece of that Hugh Jackman Wolverine legacy, like trying to fit stories in there where it's the same Wolverine, but with a different actor playing him. Nobody's going to accept that. The only way they're going to accept it is if it's a whole new Wolverine.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So that, in that regard, I think it may be, they should look at this as the time to go, All right, well, let's finish off what we've got going here. We have Dark Phoenix coming. We've got New Mutants coming. We've got all these movies coming. If we really want to fold them in, let's finish off what we're doing here and then kind of do sort of a soft reboot into a new X-Men universe within Marvel.
They've handled most of the stuff pretty well so far, yeah. So I think there's a good chance they'll...
A lot of people have been worried about the R-rated thing, too, like Deadpool, if Disney will still do R-rated stuff, and they've already commented and said, totally, we'll still... It's a 20th Century Fox film. Disney owns it, but it's still a 20th Century Fox film.
It's not a Disney film.
So, of course, there will still be R-rated stuff over there. Because people were worried about Alien. They were worried about Predator because they've got all that stuff now. That was 20th Century Fox properties.
The last Alien movie was rated R, and it sucked.
It was terrible. I didn't even need to see it. You just telling me about it was enough for me. I mean, it looked awful, but to hear from you that it was awful, that's enough.
It wasn't the worst... Yeah, so I saw Alien
Covenant. Where would you rank it, actually? I didn't ask you that.
Oh, okay.
I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, there, that's fair. That's good. I saw Alien Covenant, finally. I guess I would put it right above Alien 4, which is at the bottom for me. I'm not counting Alien versus Predator. I don't really count those as Alien movies.
Yeah, they're not really Alien movies. They're more Predator movies than Alien movies.
Yeah, Alien 4 had a... It was stupid, but it had maybe a more cohesive storyline.
What about Prometheus? Where do you put that in there?
Prometheus I liked a little bit better.
Than
Alien Covenant.
Okay.
And
better than Alien Resurrection, then?
Yes.
Okay, so wait, so you're saying Alien... Wait, okay, so do it
Let me say, let me hear it. From top to bottom.
Top to bottom, let's hear what you got.
I'm doing this
I don't remember for sure which one you like better, Alien or Aliens.
How can you...
This is on the spot.
How can you,
I'm putting you on the spot?
Pick? I mean, I could flip a coin over the two because I really feel like they are two sides of a coin. You have the setup for it in Alien, and it's so perfect as a horror sci-fi movie. And then the second movie is a perfect sequel to it, but it's the action side. It's like it's almost like if you just watch them back to back, you really have a complete epic in those two things, and I don't really think it needs to go any further than that.
Yeah.
So Alien, Aliens. Alien 3, Prometheus, Alien 4, Prometheus, Alien Covenant, and Alien 4.
So you do like Alien Covenant better than Alien 4?
I think so.
I think so.
And only because it still had Ripley. No, it's Chad.
Chad, we're busy right now, buddy.
Hold on. Hey, Chad.
Hey, man.
Hey, you're on the podcast. You're calling during the podcast.
Next time, try not to be so rude.
I was just talking about Alien Covenant. What did you think? Because me and Chad watched it together.
I kind of liked it in the moment and then realized how much of a turd it was later.
Right.
That's fair.
That's fair.
It took me a while to come to grips with how bad it was.
That's kind of how I feel about actual turds. Like, in the moment, I'm like, hey, this feels pretty good.
That's all right.
This is coming out okay. And afterwards, it's like, wow, that was a really bad one, actually. That was rough. My butthole hurts.
So good.
Yeah.
I'll call you back. I'll call you back later.
All right. James, you can come see me about that butthole thing.
Oh, that's right. You're a proctologist or something, right?
Yeah, he does scopes.
Yeah.
My butthole really doesn't hurt. I'm just joking about that. Yeah. But hey, I'll keep it in mind.
Oh, well, we'll find out.
I'll keep it in mind.
We'll find out later. All right.
That was kind of invasive. All right,
later. Find out later. Okay, so I don't want to... I'm not going to do too many spoilers, but I'll just say that if you haven't seen it, maybe skip ahead like 5 minutes. Alien Covenant, okay, Prometheus had its flaws, but at least had a story that had a beginning, middle, and end, and then you kind of cared about Elizabeth Shaw. She was, I thought she was a pretty good character. She had charisma at least.
Yeah, I liked her.
Okay, with Alien Covenant, it's a continuation of that, but it's like they killed her off. And the main heroine has no charisma whatsoever. She's
that's a problem.
She's a dry stick in the mud. She's a dry stick in the mud. That's
dry stick in the dirt.
Yeah, and
the mud's too interesting.
It's too wet too.
Yeah, it moves around too much.
She's a wet blanket.
Yeah,
she's dry.
She's a hot air blanket that doesn't work anymore.
She was pretty awful actually.
She's a wet air blanket.
I could do a whole episode about my complaints about the little things here and there, but it was just ill-conceived. It felt like it was just thrown together.
Yeah.
There was some use of CG where I didn't know why. I didn't feel like it was necessary. What's his name? Eastbound and Down.
Danny McBride.
Danny McBride was pretty much wasted. I mean, he had no...
Which is a shame, because he's very funny.
He had I thought he would provide some comedy, some comic relief in a tasteful way, because I think he can be serious, but he was barely in it and not funny in any of those times. The things the alien did... It was like they did this whole movie, and it was about David had gone to this planet and was creating aliens just because he wanted to create, and there was like all this weird... I mean, I can't... I'm trying not to get into detail and spoil it, but it was just so...
It's been out for a while, so I don't really think
you should
be too concerned about spoilers.
Well, it's just going to take too long to unpack it, but it had potential. There were some neat themes in it, and I think visually, I appreciated it more than Alien 4.
I really don't enjoy Alien 4 at all. Who's coming now?
That's my dad now.
Why are you alone over there?
I can't answer for my dad.
Okay.
He won't...
But it would be interesting if you want to talk about
commercial. Well, you never know. in some ways, it was visually interesting. In some ways, it was not. They go on this planet, and they have no spacesuits. They're just dressed like regular military guys, basically. And it's kind of like
one of the coolest things about Alien is those Nostromo.
Yeah, the whole aesthetic. Yeah. And that a lot of that was missing from this movie. And they get on the planet. There's stupid things like this guy. He comes across a giant sheaf of wheat, and he says, "This is wheat. I know wheat."
Okay.
Well, okay.
Cool, buddy.
Thanks for filling us in, because none of us know wheat.
Yeah, none of us really are aware of the thing called wheat.
Just stupid lines like that, if you stop to think about them. What is this for?
Yeah.
You know, they're trying to set up that this is a humanoid planet. Well, we know that, because we already saw Prometheus. And they gave that away at the beginning of that movie, too. So there's no mystery in it whatsoever about what's going on. There's, like, no mystery. And then at the end, like, the last 10 minutes, they said, "Oh, crap, this is an alien movie. We better hurry up and get him back on the ship and have an alien attack."
Yeah.
Eh.
I wonder how much of this, too, is kind of...
And I went in with low expectations, and it was kind of like Chad. I was okay as it was going along. I was like, okay. I snickered at a couple parts, not intentionally, not because of something they... But... By the end of it, I was like, "Wow!"
And you would you say your opinion of it was influenced at all by the fact that this film cost us the Ripley Alien 5?
I did not think of that at all, honestly, until afterward, and I started thinking about everything wrong with it, and then I thought, you know what? I wish we would have just got that other movie.
Yeah.
And so then I was really mad about Ridley Scott jumping in and feeling like he needed to.
That it was his baby, because, and he gets to do what he wants with it.
Because it doesn't capitalize on Prometheus.
Yeah.
Almost at all. I mean, it's a sequel, but it kind of erases anything you cared about from that movie. So, I mean, almost immediately. I will spoil. They're going up to the engineer. So, in a quick flashback that takes no longer than 2 minutes probably, they explain it all away that David shows up on this planet in the alien ship, and he releases... The weaponized alien toxin and kills all of the engineers. He just kills them all off right away.
It's a horrible setup for no payoff.
Why are we?
Yeah.
You spent the whole last movie like building up these. Where did they come from? And what's there?
What are the engineers all about?
And in this movie, it was just like, I'm really kind of tired of telling that. And then afterwards,
after all.
Then afterwards, Ridley Scott says, I heard it in an interview. He says something like, "We need to get away from this whole alien thing." Yeah. Yeah, you butthole. We've been trying to get you away from it for a long time. You did Prometheus. You swore it wasn't an alien movie. Then it was obvious that it was an alien movie. Then you named the sequel to it Alien.
Yeah.
And then you put a xenomorph in it. And then
you got rid of the things that you were building that almost felt like replaced the aliens in Prometheus. Now you got rid of them, and now you're saying we really got away from the aliens.
Nothing in the...
Okay, how about you just don't do any more aliens?
Just don't do it.
Just don't do any more aliens. Do some other films.
Yeah, you had another guy that was wanting to do...
That wanted to do something cool with aliens.
And the evolution of the alien and the xenomorph makes no sense through Prometheus or this movie. And it's just like... They just thought of like different creatures that they could put in.
They wanted to put them in.
Hey, this is the alien. Well,
let's do another stage of the alien life form you've never seen before.
What if this is an alien?
Well, you've already established what the alien like life stages are. There's no reason to mix it up now.
I will say, and everybody knows that how I feel generally about CG, and sometimes it's done well. I am not exaggerating when I say this is some of the worst CG I've seen in a movie in a long time. They had this, and they did the alien. They brought the alien vision back, where you're the alien walking through a corridor, and it's like in a three. I don't need that first person video game stuff.
I didn't really mind it that much in Alien 3.
In Alien 3, you have the rest of the movie is pretty engaging.
Yeah, and I don't know which cut of it it's called, the Crucible cut or something. We've talked about this before, but there's a different cut of the movie, more like a close to a director's cut. You can't call it a director's cut because he said he would never come back and do anything with Alien 3. But it's as close to a director's cut as you can get. It's a much better film.
Yeah.
It's Alien 3 is not that bad.
It's not that bad.
It's really not that bad.
Get up, Ripley!
Ripley, get up! Get up, Ripley! Alien 3, my dad.
Yeah.
Playing Sega Genesis.
So anyway, that's that. Yeah, that's it.
All right. So Disney buying Fox, this is all spinning out of that. Be very, very curious to see how a lot of things change.
See what happens.
What do you have? You have anything written down?
I don't have much.
A sheet of paper.
I don't even have a sheet of paper
in here. This is crazy.
A sheave of paper.
Just to confirm to everybody, Brock Lesnar is not in Creed 2.
Oh my goodness.
He is not playing the son of Ivan Drago. He is not.
Thank goodness.
I don't know. We talked about this in person here. I don't know how many sites picked up. Sylvester Stallone tweeted out a picture, Instagrammed a picture. I don't know where he even sent it. But it's a Photoshop picture of him fighting Brock Lesnar, like Rocky fighting Brock. And it says something in there like, oh, imagine it. This is just a fantasy scenario, but imagine what this would be like. And no, Brock is not playing Ivan Drago's son. It'll be an unknown. It was something to that effect, but it basically telling you flat out that this is not, he's not playing him. Every site picked it up like, is Brock Lesnar playing Ivan Drago's son?
Yeah.
It was ridiculous. Like, all you had to do was read what was on there, and you could see he wasn't playing his son. It was crazy, man.
People just, these places just want, they want clicks. They want anything for a click.
They want it so bad. I fell for it. You fell for it.
I didn't even click on it. I just saw the headline, and I said, oh.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound good.
I couldn't believe how many sites said it. And it's like, dude, he's saying flat out right there, he's not playing him. This is just for fun. It's going to be an unknown. It's not Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
But everybody was carrying it. And that just shows like how media kind of blows things up sometimes. Yeah. So they look for some hook and they just go with it. Okay. So I've written that down. A couple Netflix things. I don't think I said this on the last show, but I watched Punisher.
Okay.
I watched all Punisher. I thoroughly enjoyed it as a show. It's a really good show. Like, I really enjoyed it as a show. It's not the Punisher, as you know him from the comics.
Does he punish anybody?
He does, but I've said this before, too, on the show, that the Punisher as a character, he should kind of be somebody you don't want to see a lot. You know, like, it's hard to watch him, and it's hard to, you know, get into what he is, unless you're kind of a twisted person to begin with. And it should be a sort of a short-lived thing. It should be hunt down bad guys and kill them. It shouldn't be like the Tom Jane movie, where he's plotting and doing all these different things. It shouldn't be almost like Warzone, where he kind of gets a little bit of heart in Warzone and a little bit, maybe too much caring going on in Warzone.
Good stuff in both of those movies, I think.
There is good stuff. The Tom Jane Punisher film is a good film.
Yeah.
Just like this is a good series. It's not a good Punisher movie.
Yeah.
It's a horrible Punisher movie. The closest, people will probably make fun of me for it and say, oh, here's the nostalgia. The closest thing to Punisher is still the Dolph Lundgren Punisher. That's the closest to what the character should be. He should be dead inside. He died with his family, and it's just the mission. So, like, when you see his face, it's just, there's nothing there.
Yeah.
It's just, all he's there to do now is kill as many bad guys as he can.
Maybe in season two it'll get a little bit more.
They did too much of this whole. The setup for Daredevil season two is pretty close to what Punisher is, and Punisher is pretty close to Punisher in Daredevil season two, in that it's his family dies as a result of the mafia, basically the mob and some gangs that get in the cross. They get caught in the crossfire.
Crossfire.
And they die, and now he wants to hunt down everybody that was involved in killing his family.
Yeah.
There's no conspiracy. It's just wrong place, wrong time. Family dies, hunt down all these guys. They killed the wrong family. He goes and kills them all.
That sounds pretty good to me.
That's great. The series wants to set it up, and this is slight spoilery stuff, but if you watched any of the trailers, you would kind of know this. The series plays it more as the government, as a bad form of the government, set up the hit on his family to take out Frank because of some reason. And I won't spoil anything.
Crossfire.
But now becomes a Frank Castle versus the government. And I don't like that much. Mm. This whole conspiracy theories and hunt down them and him versus the FBI. And the Punisher works best when it's him versus clear-cut bad guys, mafia, mob, those kind of guys. And not so much
Swift Justice,
the whole government tie-in thing.
Well,
but you had to make a series. And it would be tough to make a whole series out of his origin and you know, what he's about when it's just a clear-cut thing like it is in the Daredevil season 2. Plus, they had to humanize him some because it would be hard to watch that character doing those things.
I don't know how much what the legs would be, too.
Yeah, it's renewed for season 2, and hopefully we get closer to that Punisher in season 2, but I think they're still going to keep him humanized.
Yeah.
Where he's more emotional and has connections to people, and I don't know. It was still a really good show, though. It's still not what I would consider a classic Punisher, but still a really good show.
Hey, as long as he wears the white gloves, I'm good.
He doesn't wear the white gloves.
Dang it.
Doesn't wear them, buddy. Sorry.
Oh, shoot.
And you watched Stranger Things.
I was going to say, speaking of Netflix, I finally got all the way through Stranger Things.
Yeah.
A lot of you are rolling your eyes and saying, Mike, that's old hat. And
season 2's already been like come done.
On. That's yesterday's come news. On, I watched buddy. It in a day.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we spread it out a little bit. Didn't binge it or anything like that. Mm-hmm. And, really good.
It's a fun show.
Really enjoyed it. It was really well done. I did notice the Millennium Falcon at the beginning is not a period specific Millennium Falcon.
Yep,
that's okay.
That's the one thing it got me too.
It didn't bother me.
It bothered me.
Because
they were really good about everything else.
Yeah.
And the one thing on that Falcon that's a telltale sign is the back panel.
Right.
It being lighted.
Right. And they showed that
really dead on.
Yeah. So yeah, it made me think you have a team of people. There's probably somebody who only job is to hunt down.
Yeah. This old stuff.
Stuff. And you couldn't
find a vintage Millennium Falcon.
You couldn't find just a shell sitting around.
That's
somewhere.
Really easy to find.
We had a dumpster full of those when they closed the store.
Yeah.
And maybe
you find one of junky stickers. There's repro stickers for that everywhere.
Right.
You can make it look brand new.
Yeah. So it's
that OTC Falcon that they used is actually harder to find than a vintage Falcon.
Yeah.
It's tough to find that Falcon.
Yeah, so that was...
it made no sense but, why they went after that.
But other than that, it was, you know, very enjoyable, and it's something that Amy and I both could enjoy.
I had a feeling, man, when I gave you the DVD set, I was like, I think you'll both like this. This
DVD.
Is something you can both get into and enjoy.
Yeah, yeah. So I like the music a lot. I like the soundtrack a lot.
Yeah.
And Joy Division showed up in one episode, so I thought that was really... out of nowhere and kind of cool.
Yeah.
So yeah, I really liked it. I'm looking forward to watching season 2. And
yeah.
I was going to say something else. I just lost it. Oh, well, whatever.
The last thing I've written down before we get into the other thing is with doing this stuff, Christmas stuff with the kids, and I was watching some old Christmas cartoons or commercials and stuff. And we've said it on the show before, but I want to say it again. I really miss old toy catalogs. Yeah. And the Turtles sometimes does this. The Turtles line does this. But those toy catalogs, where they had the empty little boxes next to them. Like Transformers had the fold-out ones. G.I. Joe did. And you'd check off the stuff you had, or you'd circle the stuff that you wanted, and you'd give it to your parents or your grandparents and stuff. I really miss doing that, man. I miss those. Like the mask little fold-out that had all the different things on there. It was such a good time to be able to circle that stuff and hand it off and dream about the ones you thought you might get at Christmas. And it seems like it's such a cheap thing to do. I'm not sure why.
Yeah. Well, they spend a whole lot on packaging.
It's kind of crappy. It'd
be okay to just have a blister with...
You don't really have much cross-sell on the back of packaging anymore.
Right.
Why couldn't you just throw in a little mini catalog?
I've noticed
Star Wars does this sometimes, but that's like nothing in there. One or two things, and then they want to advertise the app or the new game that's coming out inside there. And it's like, well, how about you just cross all the toys inside here?
I noticed they don't put all the characters on the back either.
Yeah.
And the cards are smaller, but they could get them pretty small. They take up at least half the packaging with different
all the different languages.
And yeah, it's just things that used to, you know, used to be kind of nice. Really, I used to cut out the images on the back of the package.
Yeah.
And like, you know, draw an environment and paste them to that.
Oh, that's
or
cool.
Like play with them or whatever. At least if you never got around to getting them,
you'd have this.
You would have the back, and you could look at those characters and your imagination kind of spark.
Same with the catalogs, man. I would look at those things and imagine what it would be like to have those.
Those Kenner catalogs,
those were great.
I don't know how many of those I had.
Those were so awesome, man. And that cross-sold other Kenner toy lines inside the catalog. Like, with Transformers and G.I. Joe, you'd only have Transformers and G.I. Joe. But the Kenner ones, it was like, here's all the stuff Kenner makes. Here's RoboCop and Batman and Beetlejuice and all these different things inside there. Had their own little sections. It was almost like mini Toy Fair catalogs.
Yes.
That were stuck in there for the kids to look at.
Really?
And I don't even know how they would manage to work that out nowadays. You probably couldn't cross sell more than one license inside of a catalog nowadays.
I don't know.
You can't print those things together. Man, I miss those. I miss those little toy catalogs.
Yeah.
All right. So here it comes.
So if you have not seen Star Wars, do not listen any further. There will be spoilers. If you have seen it and you think you're going to be angered by something that we are going to say, don't listen. I don't think we're going to get too much into it.
Yeah, I feel kind of apathetic about it now. I'm kind of done about the whole thing.
Yeah.
But I will say, if, like Mike just said, if you like the film and you don't like to hear kind of negative things on it, which it seems overwhelmingly, from my experiences online, that if you like the film, it's really hard for people to like the film and not criticize people that don't like the film.
Right.
That's just my personal experience online. But it seems like the instant defense against a person that doesn't like the film is to call them a whiner, a hater, grow up, move on. It's not yours anymore. It's just to go after the person and not explain why you like the film.
Right.
It's not. Whereas for me, I'm going to say why I don't like the film. I'm not going to say why I don't like the people that like the film.
Yeah.
Because I don't mind when people like the film. If you like the film, that's great. I'm happy for you. I'm glad you got to experience it and you found enjoyment in it. That's awesome. I wish I would have had your experience.
Yeah.
I'm jealous of your experience.
Right.
So it's hard for me to see the other side of it where you enjoyed the film and the way you can enjoy it still is by tearing down the people that didn't enjoy it. Let's just leave it to the film.
Well, it's getting so common with online stuff, particularly, and people are so polarized on things. It's like, I was thinking about this, you know, back when Jedi came out, I'm sure there are people who had criticisms. They probably said, well, I didn't like the Ewoks and maybe they had a conversation with somebody else about it, but that was it. They didn't have some big giant public forum where they could just, you know, throw out whatever thing they thought immediately. And overall it was like, yeah, you know, it was a movie, and now people are fighting over it. Like, I understand if you're disappointed by it, voicing your opinion. If you had an experience where you loved it, I understand posting that. I don't understand, you know, getting into, I can't remember if it was your post or somebody else's that I saw, but somebody got in there, you know, disagreed. It was somebody who liked the film, disagreed, stirred up the pot, and then was like, I don't care, man. I don't care. Well, you did care.
You did care.
Because you got on there and you posted and then you fought with somebody about it. And it's just that, like I said last time, there's no accounting for taste. And, you know, if you got something good, and if you did get something, give some reasons why.
Exactly.
Because I haven't seen any of that. Of anybody that said they liked it, all I've seen is, awesome, man. Totally cool.
Oh, totally.
And I'm not saying there isn't somebody who has legitimate reasons or even reason. They don't have to be, you know, objectively legitimate. But so anyway, before we go any further, I want to make a statement. I want to say I did not see the movie. I chose not to see the movie. I'm not going to see the movie. And the reason why is twofold. One, I saw a spoiler ahead of time. I did not like it. I already was kind of on the fence about it anyway. And I just decided I don't need that. I don't want that. And the other thing I realized is that I'm a fan of three movies that came out between the years of 1979 and 1983. 77 yep. and 82? 83. Between 77 and 83, I'm a fan of those three films.
Yeah.
They have a special place in my heart. I grew up with them. I love them. They colored so much of my childhood and even into my adult life. They just have that place, and that's what it is, and that's where it's at. And just because somebody else, whether it be George Lucas or Disney or anybody else, comes out with a movie and slaps a Star Wars name on it does not mean that I'm obligated to like it. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that I'm obligated to see it. It doesn't mean that I'm obligated to have anything to do with it, because I'm a fan of those three original films. And I just realized over the course of the last week that I resent the idea that Disney or George Lucas or whoever is owed my money just because they put the Star Wars name on something, and it's expected that I'm, and I know it's not personally yeah. me, but their thought is no doubt, well, it's Star Wars and it's going to make money. I don't appreciate that. I don't appreciate the assumption or the obligation from anybody that I need to spend my money on something that I'm not interested in.
Yeah.
And so with that, I just said, okay, I'm bowing out. I don't really need this. I have the movies that I love, and I like Force Awakens too. So yeah. I got a bonus, you know, and that's just it. And it sounds like I'm upset about it. I feel like it's a really good place to be, because I've heard too many people are like not excited about it, but they're going to go see it anyway, out of some sense of yeah. obligation. And I know that we were doing the show, and so we wanted to have something to say about it. And you had bought your tickets already by the time I decided not to go. But I think it's a fine place, and I'm good with it. It is what it is.
Well, I'm also in a boat where I've got one teenage boy and one preteen boy. They're in school, and if I wanted them to experience it without it being just spoiled for them at school, told everything.
Yeah.
And I understand where they're at. They want to see what sure, happens. Sure. They don't want to be told what happens. They sure. want to go see it. That leaned me more towards going to see it, because I was in the same boat as you were. The things I was seeing didn't have me excited, really. Yeah. And I was worried about what they would do in the film, to the point where I wasn't sure I was going to go buy a ticket even that opening weekend. But that, coupled with the fact that I want to talk about it on the show and the kids want to see it, I went ahead and saw it.
Yeah.
But I will tell you, after seeing it, it's cured me of seeing episode 9.
I will say, yeah, everything that I've heard from yeah. you or read from someplace else has confirmed that I don't need to see it. And this is along the same lines of thinking, and this yet again reaffirms where I am with it, is I heard somebody else in here the other day was talking about it, hadn't seen it, was going to go see it, and presumes, he's estimating that he will grade it at a C.
He hasn't even seen it, and he's already estimated it. Well,
I want to know why you would think that something was going to be a C, and you want to go see it. You yeah. want to go pay money at a theater to see it, because I don't go to a theater to see a C.
Yeah.
I'm hoping for an A.
As much as theater, and
especially with Star Wars,
the time,
yeah.
I want to have my money's worth. Right. I don't want to see an average or below right. average film. I don't want to pay for that right. anymore. It's just not worth my time and money to right. go to that kind of stuff. And there were many of those videos that we looked at online. There were their reviews for it afterwards. They kind of had the same consensus, like, okay, there's boring parts, but I really highly suggest you go see it.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, yeah,
you're going to have some issues. You need to kind of maybe leave your expectations at home and, you know that this is a different kind of movie. And maybe it's not a Star Wars movie that you're going to really right. enjoy, but you should really go see it. Yeah. There was all these negatives that they kept on lumping out, but you should really go see it.
Yeah.
Why?
The one I'm thinking of, said, you should definitely recommend you go see it, but prepare yourself to be bored in a lot of places. Well, that is not an argument to me that makes me want to see something.
I never
want
to be bored
something.
At a Star Wars movie.
And
there's only one other Star Wars movie right. I've truly been bored at, and that's Episode 2, Attack of the Clones.
And the assumption that once again, that Disney or fandom in general or anybody is owed my cash.
Yeah.
Because it's got Star Wars slapped on it. I'm a fan of Star Wars.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of three Star Wars movies. I don't like the prequels. Mm-hmm. I like Force Awakens pretty well.
Yeah.
So whatever. That's my stance on it. So from here on out, just know that I have not actually seen the film.
That Disney now knows they can do whatever they want. This is proved. They can do whatever they want in the Star Wars movie because they know it's going to sell tickets. They know it is.
Yeah.
They can do whatever they want. And they proved it in this movie. They can put out whatever movie they want, do whatever they want to the classic characters. They kind of started with Force Awakens and Death of Han, but they can do whatever they want with characters and whatever they want with the story, and it's still going to sell just a ton of tickets.
Right.
And it's just never going to matter. And that, and even Mark Hamill said something like that in one of these other interviews I saw earlier, was that it doesn't matter if a movie's good or not anymore. It doesn't matter.
Right.
It just matters if it sells tickets.
Right. So, so Force Awakens, even though you and I liked it, how much money did that movie make?
It made a ton of money. Tons of money.
I mean, it broke a record, didn't it?
Yeah. It has the highest opening weekend of all time.
Right. Okay. So a bunch of people then afterwards
say that it's terrible.
Panned it and talked about how terrible it was.
Yeah.
But all those same people are going to see this next movie.
Exactly. And they're dogging people for not liking The Force Awakens. Now, that's one of the big arguments that I see online, was that people say, oh, so many people said Force Awakens is a copy of Episode 4. And now they're saying that Episode 8 is too different. It's too different. Well, you can't have it both ways, fans. Well, I see so many people now dogging Episode 7. Why did you buy all those tickets for Episode 7 then? If this many people hated Episode 7, how did it make this much money? Because there's tons of people saying they hated Episode 7 now. I've always said that Episode 7 is good.
Yeah.
I like Episode 7. It's not as good as the original trilogy. It's better than the prequels.
Yeah.
It's not even as good as Rogue One. I like Rogue One better than Episode 7, but it's a fine film. I don't have a problem with it as a movie. I liked going to see it.
Yeah.
I had a fun time seeing it. So I've never changed that tune, and I've never said that it's blatantly a ripoff of Episode 4, and for that reason, it's terrible. Well, they wanted to get back to the feeling of the classic trilogy. That's what their point was in the movie. So it was, do a movie that feels like an original Star Wars movie.
And I will say that in Star Wars, the plot has always been secondary to the characters. And so
I agree with that.
You know, you can't have a convoluted plot that's hard to follow. But yeah, it made sense to me to kind of take a formula and you got you're used to these characters. So anyway, enough about that. Let's get to the nitty gritty. What was it?
So the main thing, and I will start with the main because everything else is secondary to this. If it weren't for this, I could probably overlook a lot of the other stuff in the movie. It would still be a bad, flawed movie, but I wouldn't physically hate it like I do this movie. And that's the treatment of Luke.
Yeah.
They absolutely butcher the character of Luke. You can tell me you're blue in the face about, well, you don't know where Luke would end up being 30 years from now. Or, you know, tell me that, well, he's been through this a lot of things, so you wouldn't even know. You'd be a different person if you went through all that stuff, too. I'm sorry, but Luke has a trait that they built through the original trilogy, and that's that he does not give up.
Yeah.
He doesn't give up. He doesn't give up on Leia and A New Hope. He just keeps on trying to save her. He's got to get there. He goes through every channel he can to get to her. Once he makes the decision to be a hero and save Leia, nothing stops him.
He walks into a trap and Empire Strikes Back.
And then we get to Empire, and he refuses to give up on Han and Leia and Chewie and 3PO, if you want to include everybody there, to the point where Yoda tells him flat out, if you go now, we're not going to be able to help you, and it's over.
Yeah.
You know, like, you've destroyed everything. If you go and try and save your friends, maybe you could help them, but you destroy everything that we're building here. And he says, I understand. He can't just leave them behind. Even if it costs him being a Jedi and training and all these different things, he can't leave his family behind, which is his family at this point, his friends and his family. He has to go, and he has to confront Vader. Even though he knows he's going to lose, he still has to save them.
Yeah.
We get to Jedi. He won't give up Han. He won't give up Leia. And he won't give up on Vader. And Vader, everybody has given up on.
Yeah.
Obi-Wan tells him to give up. Yoda tells him to give up. There's nothing left. You can't save him. It's over. You can't save him. And he says, you know what? I'm still going to try.
Yeah.
I'm still going to try and save him. And he refuses to give up on that. Even though he's done horrible, terrible things that you shouldn't be able to forgive. He's been a party of destroying entire planets. He's done horrible, terrible things. And everybody's telling him, including Jedi Masters, that there's no good left. And he still does it. And he manages to win and bring him back. So the Luke character will not give up on a loved one, a family member, a friend. He just won't give up. So right off the bat, they make him give up.
He tosses the lightsaber off over his shoulders.
That's a travesty right off the bat. And it's played as a joke because they end The Force Awakens with, she finds Luke, he's in exile, and she brings him the saber, and he's just kind of looking at it and contemplating.
You don't know what's the next step.
What's the next step? So the next step is he just chucks it over his shoulder like it's garbage and walks away, which Luke would never do.
I want to interject here. With Rian Johnson, is that the director's name?
That's what feels like him throwing away the classic trilogy.
Right. Okay, so all of that aside, it seems like, okay, the second chapter is darker, Empire was darker, mm-hmm. and he wanted to take a risk, and he wanted to throw a wrench in the works. So everything I've heard about the films sounds to me like he really just did the opposite of what you would expect, or the opposite of what it should be, and that to me seems lazy, because you can't craft a real story that says, okay, maybe Luke is in a darker place, but how does that work with the character?
Yeah.
It just sounds like he just did the exact opposite. Oh, you think Luke is going to accept the lightsaber and train Rey? Guess what? He's not going to do that.
And it really, there was no expense towards the new characters. Like, it was really kind of like, new characters get to keep on doing and be cooler and do these other things. And to do your, like, shock moments, your dark moments, you just piled it on the old characters, because out with the old, in with the new. We basically just trotted out your old characters to get you to buy tickets.
I also want to say, this whole out, I keep hearing that too, let the past go. That's the only reason anybody's
exactly.
here right
then
now.
Then don't make 7, 8, 9.
That's why.
Don't make those.
Yeah, that's
if
why.
If it's out with the old, make new Star Wars movies that don't involve the old characters.
That was Disney's whole thing, the whole reveal.
Was to bring them back.
Was to have,
bring back the original
look,
cast.
Look, we have all these people you love.
So you're going to make Han into a failure as a father in the last movie. That can't keep his craft together, that's basically just worse off than he was at the end of Return of the Jedi. Although I liked Force Awakens, like I said, and I liked Han's character arc, they did take him back a step from where he was at the end of Jedi.
He at least wanted to get out of Jedi.
Yeah.
And there was a sacrifice that, although he didn't actively sacrifice himself, there was a sacrifice that needed to be made for Kylo's next
step.
So, I agree with you. It was a step back, but at least it...
At least it had a weight in the story.
I understood why Harrison was like, I'm done with this series.
Whereas the degradation of Luke's character was completely pointless, other than you just wanted to throw out the old stuff. We begin with him chucking the lightsaber over his shoulder, which to me is symbolization of Rian Johnson and the character of Luke and the classic trilogy and everything that was established so far. He just chucked it over his shoulder. And then you get to see Luke go and squeeze the breast of an alien,
to
get milk out of it into a jar. Meanwhile, Rey's looking at the creature like, oh, what a cool, nice creature. Luke's all business. He's squeezing that breast and getting that blue milk, which is, it's a callback. This is how you get the blue milk into this thing, and just guzzled it. And it's all over his beard, and they make sure to show how disgusting he is, just to show you, look at your Luke. Look how far he's fallen. Look how disgusting he is now. Look what your hero is now. He's this hermit that's gone away, and he's given up on everybody, and he wants the Jedi to die, and he's a failure, and he's disgusting. Look at your character. And it was like disgusting to me to see that they'd done that to Luke. And I felt for Mark Hamill as I watched it, like, man, I can't believe you're even like having to do this. And I want to interject this here real quick. Mark Hamill's been on record multiple times as saying, I don't agree with what you're doing with the character, to Rian Johnson. It's not my Luke, what you're doing here. It goes against everything I was setting up. And people get mad at me when I put these quotes up, saying, you're taking that out of context. You're taking it out of context. The quote is the quote. Yes, he does follow it up with, until I came around to see his vision, and until he had me in the moment, and until I understood what he had going in the story. If the guy that should know more about Luke than anybody, character motivation, character traits, looks at the story and doesn't understand where his Luke became this Luke until the guy is like in there and telling him all these things, how can you expect fans? I don't have Rian Johnson seeing with the movie with me to explain to me why it's okay that Luke's like this and why Luke became like this. If that, it took that to convince Mark Hamill. And again, he works for Disney now. There's NDAs, there's certain clauses that you can't badmouth the film. If he's telling you flat out in multiple interviews that he didn't agree with this version of Luke, that it wasn't his Luke, I don't care if it has to be backed up with other things. Me, as a fan of Luke, and knowing the Luke character from when I've seen the original trilogy, I can see why he's saying that, because Luke is doing things that don't make sense at all.
Yeah.
They don't make sense at all if it's the same character we saw in the original trilogy. And he's a hermit, and he's giving up, on Leia. He's moved away from Han. He wants to be left alone. He wants the Jedi to die. He wants the books to go. He wants everything gone. And it's all brought about by the fact that he tries to train Ben, and he senses that Ren. Snoke, Kylo Ren, Ben Solo.
Oh, yeah.
He tries to train Ben Solo, but at this point, first he lies to Rey and says that Kylo attacked him, destroyed everything. And then Kylo tells Rey that, no, he was going to try and kill me. And at that point, I was like, please tell me Kylo is lying here, because I really can't take the fact that Luke is willing to kill
Luke is now
kid.
Lying, yeah.
Yeah, Luke is lying about it, too. Yeah. But yeah, I know. Go back to the Obi-Wan truth from a certain point of view thing. That's fine. But he had that done to him, so I don't know if he would do it to other characters now.
The truth from a certain point of view is sort of a...
Yeah.
George sort of backtracking on something that I don't think he had planned.
I don't think that there's any truth in what he said.
Right.
It's a flat-out lie.
He's flat-out lied.
Whereas Ben, there is truth in what he's saying, that Anakin dies and Vader takes over. That's it. But Luke senses that Snoke has such a hold on Ben that there's no turning back. And so he lights his lightsaber up like he's going to kill him. And he's like, oh, and I just felt it for a second. But then it was too late. Kylo saw me with the lightsaber and he fought me and that was it. He took out everybody and yada, yada, yada. So Luke, a character that never gave up on Vader and all the horrible things he did, senses that this character somewhere else, Snoke, has a hold of Ben. And instead of maybe going and taking out Snoke, or trying to pull Ben back, immediately just contemplates killing him.
In his sleep, right?
In his sleep.
Yeah.
That is so not Luke. That is so far from Luke. And this isn't now the Luke that's gone through the failure. This is the Luke that still is a teacher and has been entrusted with Luke, with Leia's son. This is not that failure of a Luke. So he wouldn't be at the point where he would be contemplating it. You can't excuse that moment where he contemplates killing him, where he would give up on him that fast. And not try and take out Snoke, and not talk to Leia, and not work together to bring Ben back, not do any of those things, but immediately contemplate killing this kid, because right then you kill the Luke character. The minute he's willing to kill him, you've killed Luke as a character. And then it's just a downfall from there. It just spirals out of control to Luke being now this hermit, and he refuses to turn back, and he's telling everybody the Jedi are terrible, and refuses to train Rey, and closing himself off to the Force, doesn't know Han's dead, all this, just terrible. Just terrible treatment of his character. So that mistreatment of the Luke character aside, and I could keep going on and on about that, but we're already at 52 minutes, and it would take for me to explain how much it hurt to see what they did to Luke would be hours. I mean, it really tore me up more than any other film I think I've ever sat through, that they took a character that meant so much and just completely flip-flopped him from what he was.
How many years have we talked about how awesome it would be if Mark Hamill came back as Luke? And then
For so long, since we've known each other, we've talked about
and
that.
And then Force Awakens comes out, and they're actually going to give you this thing, and then he's not even in the movie.
Yeah, and he's not even Luke anymore.
And then the movie that he is in, they don't give you actually what you wanted. They kind of...
He's mistreated and changed in the advancement of stories of newer characters. And that should never be.
Why? Yeah, I don't understand why they can't both.
Why can't they both exist? Why couldn't he? Okay, so maybe he failed as a teacher, and you could have that without him contemplating killing, giving up. Maybe he failed, and just like Obi-Wan, and just like Yoda, he knows that now that Kylo is in control with Snoke and these other guys, he knows right now he doesn't have what it takes to take out all of them. He needs that new hope to grow. Yeah. He can't just go in and fight them and take the chance of dying and the Jedi off. So he goes into hiding until there is a new hope to spring forward. And that's Rey. And that's kind of what I was thinking what would happen at the end of Force Awakens, that he's in exile because of these things. Yes, he failed, but he's hidden away from everyone.
And I think that's what J.J. Abrams was trying to set up.
I think that's what he was setting up. And that he would come back with Rey. And then maybe he dies the hero's death with Rey, just like Ben did.
The fact that he died wasn't as much of a blow to me.
There was no weight.
Except for how he died. It was
since we're on Luke, we'll finish it off. So he gets convinced. The only cool moment in the entire film is that when he is talking to R2 and R2 plays the old Leia message. And that kind of convinces him to, he's like, that's a cheap trick. To remind him that he never gave up on Leia, and that he needs Leia, and Leia's there for him. So at the end of the film, it's dire straits and it's terrible things. They're all going to die. Kylo's in control, yada, yada, yada. Luke shows up and he has a moment with Leia and he's cleaned up and he's in a different outfit. He's no longer a hermit. He looks like a Jedi again. And he talks to Leia. And this is the talk they should have had when he was sensing the darkness in Ben And if he thought it was too far along, that he would have had this talk with Leia, that he said, he's gone. I can't, there's nothing left in him. I'm going to have to stop him. And she agrees that I know now, yeah, I have felt it too, that there is nothing left. And that would have been the conversation they would have had when he was training him. He would have taken Leia and he would have talked to her and done these things. So then he goes out to face Kylo. And as I'm watching it, I'm like, wow, we're actually getting Luke. Like, this now feels kind of like it's Luke now. I don't like how we've gotten here, but at least I'm getting a moment where it's Luke. And everything's thrown at him. And he walks out of it and he brushes his shoulder off, which is kind of lame. Kinda but at the same time, it was like, it's kind of cool because it's Luke. And then Jedi. Kylo comes down to fight him. And Luke's just dodging stuff. And then he says to him the same line where it's like, if you strike me down, I'm always going to be with you. And it's like, okay, this is getting kind of neat. He may die here, but at least it's worth something. You know, like they're all saying that he's not going to win here. He's just buying us time so that we can escape and we can live. And it's like, okay, well, they're giving Luke a neat moment. They've kind of degraded him the entire movie. So at least they're giving him a moment. And then it turns out that he's just a projection.
He's just force projecting
himself. He's just a force projection.
I slunk out.
So he's still on the island.
So he didn't have the guts to get off the stinking island.
He didn't even have the guts to get there. And they made a point of showing he had an X-Wing there. It was in the water. Sure, it's been in the water for probably a long time, but still they made a point of showing you that his X-Wing is there. Even if the Falcon left, he still has a way off. But it turns out it was just a projection the whole time. And he's just straining himself from across over another island. He was never in any danger. He never had any real interaction with Leia. He gave her these dice from the Falcon that were just force dice. They were ghost dice.
Right.
They weren't even really there.
Right.
But then Kylo was able to pick them up, and then they disappear. So he was never there, and then he ends up dying anyway. Like, he just looks into the sun and gives into the force and dies anyway. So if you're going to kill him anyway, you can't even give him a real hero death.
Yeah, yeah.
You just give him dying off on the rock on that same planet that he went to die on. He's just going to die there.
Right. So what's the point of him what's even doing of any of that there? Stuff anyway?
And that was the whole... That's the rest of the movie. Now that we've moved past Luke, that's the rest of the movie, is what's the point? There is no point.
That's a consensus I've heard from people, both people who like the movie and people who didn't. It's everybody said, you're kind of at the same place. Everything that happens in the movie is undone a half hour after it happens. And so
you sit through these long plot points that just go on forever. And the payoff is never there. It always just turns out like, oh, well, that didn't work out. So we're on to the next thing.
Yeah.
Well, even the movie itself, like, okay, so we both have said we like Force Awakens. The thing I don't like about Force Awakens and this new trilogy is at the end of Jedi, we've won. The Empire is on its last legs.
Yeah.
The Emperor's dead. The Rebellion is flourishing. And we're going to wipe them all out.
Yeah.
We never are explained how that all turned completely around.
Right.
It's almost like Jedi doesn't exist.
So they're the resistance is what they're called?
The resistance.
And so what are they resisting? The First Order. They should be in
power. Yeah, they should be the ones in power. Yeah. So like, but the First Order is so powerful.
They have a whole planet. The Empire,
basically. Yeah. So the Empire never went away. Like, they never even lost. It's just the First Order is just in power. And it's never really explained why the resistance is like on its last legs when you won. You should have won. And the last movie, you definitely won. You took out their big planet-killing machine.
Right.
And it doesn't even feel like they're even hurt. Like, the First Order is more powerful than ever, and the Resistance is on its last legs again. How?
How's all that happening?
How did that happen? It's like everything that was set up in Force Awakens didn't care.
So I'm saying is like it's almost as if he didn't like that movie and just said, well, Disney said I could do my own thing. Which, by the way, I don't know how this guy got this job or who he is, because he hasn't really done much of anything. And to give him the biggest movie franchise, one of the one installment of the biggest movie franchise, and his own trilogy, by the way, he's getting, just doesn't make sense. So I wonder what he's got on
Walt or something. I personally, and I want to get back to the film, but I personally think it's Disney wants people to execute their vision for these films. They want what they want in these films.
Yeah.
And if this director is not willing to do what they want them to do, Kathleen Kennedy, Lucasfilm, and Disney, then they're out. Because so far we've lost the guys that were directing the Han Solo movie. They're gone. We lost Josh Trank, who was, I can't remember which movie he was supposed to do, but he was gone.
Nine, I think.
No, that was Colin Trevorrow.
Oh.
He was supposed to do Nine. He's out. Yeah. And now J.J. Abrams is in. So I've never seen that much flip-flopping
right.
of directors in a film series than I'm seeing with this. And it really feels like if you're not willing to execute our vision, you're out. So I think this guy was willing to do what Disney wanted him to do. And that's why he was giving the trilogy. Because as the movie went along, if he was doing everything that they wanted him to do, then he gets the other ones. Because they're gonna, he's going to do everything they wanted to
Interesting.
Do. That's personal opinion. But that's just what it seems like from what's happening.
Yeah.
So so the Resistance is dying, basically.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't want to get on too much of a soapbox on this. Because I want to make a strong, strong point that I am all for female characters that are empowered and are heroes for girls to look up to, and that there's equality. I'm all for all that. I have a daughter, and I want her to have heroes. I think that there's always been female heroes. Do I think that there were more male heroes growing up? Yes, I do. And I do like a balance. I like there to be male heroes and female heroes. This film, when I really sat down and thought about it, was overburdened by female characters that can do no wrong and male characters that only do wrong. Yeah. And it, when you really take apart each male character, they're either a villain or they're flawed completely to the point where they're failing, or they're dumb, or they're way too impulsive.
Bumbling.
And the female characters have to fix it for them.
Clumsy.
And that, to me, isn't progressive. It's not. It should be like Leia is with Han and Luke. Like, right. It's they're all equals.
Right.
And they're all contributing. Poe is keeps trying, but keeps being stupid in what he does. He's been basically told he's stupid by all the female characters. They don't tell him plans in the movie. They don't make him aware of plans, but he's dumb for not knowing that there's a plan and for doing something to help. But everything he does is ineffectual because the female characters already have a plan and it's already going to be it's already going to be followed, and everybody just knows it's going to work. And so he shouldn't even be trying.
Yeah.
He should be stopping. Finn wants to kind of help Rey and go off and do a thing, but he gets busted as if he's a coward. And then the Rose character has to explain to Finn what they should really be doing. And so she takes Finn on an adventure to do these things. And this is all spoilery stuff. The Laura Dern character, who won't tell Poe anything, even though in the first film, Poe is very trusted by Leia to the point where he's the one sent to get the plans from where Luke is.
Right.
He's sent out on the mission. She trusts Poe. But Poe isn't entrusted with any kind of plan as to what's going on with the escape. And this Aldo lady, Poe doesn't even know, really, now has all of Leia's entrusted plans. So she then gets to commit self-sacrifice in the film to be the hero and give up her life to save everyone else. Finn tries it to give up his life and save everyone else.
How much longer after...
After she gives up, maybe 20, 30 minutes.
Yeah, so
pretty soon after, right. Laura Dern's character has gone into light speed to blow through every ship, which we've never seen before, but apparently is now something that they can do. Which I don't know why they wouldn't have used this already, to go to the light speed and just smash through the entire armada. She's able to commit self-sacrifice. Finn then tries it because there's a battering ram that's going to destroy the last bit of them, and all the ships are done. But Finn's like, I can make it. I'm going to head straight into this thing. He's going to die a hero's death, take out this machine by flying into it. But Rose stops him. She crashes her ship into his and then explains to him, we don't win by fighting what we hate. We win by protecting what we love.
Except we
just did that
plus
with Laura Dern's character.
Plus you are fighting what you hate.
Yeah, you are fighting what
you're
you hate.
Fighting,
that's the whole
you're
point
fighting
of
a war. It's a Star War.
Yeah. So that was, to me, like... If they had not just done the self-sacrifice with the other character, I could accept the scene more. But you just did it.
Right.
You just did that. So, and that's a lot of this film, where it's just like, you scratch your head and go, why did they do this? There's a whole sequence on the casino with Rose and Finn where they've gotten information from Maz. The whole thing takes place during a slow-speed chase in space. Because for some reason, the Resistance is almost out of fuel. They can't jump to light speed again because they'll be caught. But if they stay slightly out of range of the First Order ships, they'll be fine. They pull back. They said, we'll stay out of range. They'll pull back their fighters. Why? Isn't that the point of the fighters?
Yeah.
Is to go after stuff that gets out of range?
Yeah, why would they?
Why wouldn't they just keep sending the fighters if you got out of range of the Star Destroyers? Send the fighters after you then.
Yeah.
Why not? But no, they pull the fighters back. So they can have the slow speed chase where they can come up with a plan, even though Leia and Aldo already have a plan. But Poe's coming up with a plan because he's not told about the plan.
There's a whole lot that we can get
to. So much.
I just want to know about two things.
Yeah.
Before we go, I want to know about the shirtless scene with
with
Rey and Kylo Ren and about how the humor, once again, everybody who either likes it or dislikes it seems to concur that there's a whole lot of misplaced humor in there that doesn't go well.
You're trying to do like a dark film, it seemed like, but you keep on interjecting humor that it's kind of like cheesy and not funny and just kind of inappropriate.
So, if I'm understanding, Kylo
Ren, this is my biggest one of the bunch.
Kylo Ren and Rey meet in a force brain.
Yeah, and they can see each other in the force.
They're talking in a force, and they meet up, and he meets, and he's shirtless.
Yeah,
and they start talking, and she says, "Oh, can you throw on a towel or something?" Yeah. By the way,
she hates Kylo at this point.
Yeah,
she hates him. Because I don't think at this point he's revealed that Luke tried to kill him. She still hates him because of what he did to Han.
But they're going
to
have a cool high school moment.
But they're going to have a funny high school. He's got his funny shirt high school off moment. And he's jacked. Yeah. And she's like, can you put on a towel or something? She would not do that. Like, it's not funny. It's not cute. It's not charming.
Stupid.
She hates him. Yeah. So she's not going to be, like, distracted by his big muscles. Because that kind of degrades her character.
Yeah.
That she would be... She would forego her feelings of
hatred. Like, she can't have a serious discussion with her enemy and be distracted with his shirt off because he's so hot.
He's so hot with those big muscles.
He's so hot.
He's so hot.
Adam Driver.
He's so hot.
That Adam Driver is so hot.
So that was terrible.
And I want to know about Leia using her Force Superfly.
This was awful. Okay. So we know Carrie Fisher is dead, and it sucks.
Yeah, it's sad.
Carrie Fisher is dead. And they have to deal with that in the films. They're going to have to deal with it. As you're watching the film, her ship gets attacked. At first, it's Kylo's going to pull the trigger and kill Leia. And they have this cool moment where Kylo sees her and she sees him and they see each other in the Force and Kylo resists killing her. So at that point, you know that there is good in Kylo.
Okay.
There's good in him.
Okay.
Which...
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
You just said earlier that Luke saw no good in him, that it was too that Snoke had too much of a hold on him.
He already iced his pops.
He iced his dad, yeah. But now you're showing us that there is still good in him. He refuses to kill Leia. Yeah. He can't do it. He can't pull the trigger. His other two ships that are with him, though, they pull the trigger. They shoot on her. And it blows out the ship, and she gets blown out in space. And I'm like, okay, well, that's how they solved it. They've taken, and it felt kind of CGI, like she was just standing there, and then she was blown out into space.
Yeah.
Like, okay, that's the way they had to do it. And they have this kind of cool moment where it's obviously, it feels like CGI, and it's her body floating in space, and if I'm not mistaken, they're playing Leia's theme.
Yeah.
And they kind of show her, they kind of focus in on her, and I'm like, okay, it's kind of a little strange what I'm seeing right now, because it feels like
it's CGI. Not really, yeah, probably not
but it
really
feels hard. Like maybe they did this to give everybody a chance to say goodbye. You know, they couldn't really do a goodbye moment with her in person because they didn't know they had to say goodbye. So they've created this moment and done it in CGI for us all to get to say goodbye to the Leia character. And it kind of touched me a little bit. I was like, this is kind of nice. It's kind of heartwarming. And then she opens her eyes and she supergirls back to the ship and knocks on the door.
Flies back like a super person.
She flies back like a super person. Yeah, she's kind of pulling herself in the force, but she's flying.
The force flight.
She's flying through space. And knocks on the door to be let back in the ship.
Knocks on the door.
So you took what could have been a cool character death and a cool goodbye for the character, brought her back in a really weird, cheesy way, and then she makes it through the movie. So now you've got to create another death somehow for the next movie to explain why she's gone.
Once again, what's the point of that whole segment of blowing her out of the ship and having her be in space?
Because I gotta be honest.
Other than to just show... That she's going to fly back.
I'm trying to think of how else she contributes the rest of the film, and if she would have been really missing, and she wouldn't have been. There are ways to work around what she does throughout the film.
And that's
so she's in a coma.
Yeah.
She comes back, and she zaps Poe, has this conversation with Aldo. And there's certain things I'm like, well, this film is way too long anyway. You can't tell me that there's some way of editing out Leia past that moment and still making it work. Or moving that moment somewhere else where you got to say goodbye to her. Because now we've had a death scene for a character that's we know is going to have to die.
Because she's not alive.
Because she's dead.
Yeah.
It was just...
Once again...
So many things.
Something done, and then being undone immediately.
Totally.
You're back at the same spot that you started with. And it's almost a slap in the face by the director by saying, like, because he knows that people are going to think this is her death scene because she died, and we all expected that. And then he's going to rip that, like, pull the rug out from under you. She knocks on the door. See, this, we've got to end it because it's been too long. But this is like a quarter of what I have heard. And just those two things alone almost would make me say, I'll wait for DVD. Those two things plus Luke makes me say,
like I said, I'm okay. Even without the detrimental treatment of Luke, it's still a bad movie. Right. Like, it's still, I could overlook a lot of the minor nitpicks I have, but it still structurally is a bad movie. Like, it leads nowhere. People say this is a game changer. And the only game changer it is it ruins Luke. That's the only game changing that happens. Everything you wanted to know from The Force Awakens, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where the Resistance came to power, or why the Resistance is so weak, why the First Order came to power, where Snoke came from, because he's nothing. He gets wiped out like he's nothing in the film, which makes it really curious how he got such a hold on Kylo when he's so easily dispatched. Why couldn't Luke have done this?
Deceived by Kylo.
Ray's parents don't matter. Nothing matters.
Right.
Nothing matters that we've established so far.
Nothing else
matters. And every plot point that you thought was going to go somewhere in the movie goes nowhere. The whole entire Rose Finn thing, which gets so boring and so monotonous, goes nowhere. It goes nowhere. Everything they do goes nowhere. And at the end of the movie, you find out that there's other Resistance people. They don't even come to help. The Resistance doesn't even like each other. They set up this call saying, well, General Leia's got friends. They'll come to help. But nobody came to help. We're all that's left. Nobody came to help us. And so all that's left is this little tiny amount of people that fit on the Millennium Falcon that fly away. So you've gone from the end of Return of the Jedi to like a group that's on the Falcon? That's it?
Yeah, without...
Stupid, man. I will say, I've said it multiple times, and I'm sorry for being so negative. If you like the film, like I said, you should probably shut it off, because it was going to get negative. It was just such a downturn from Luke as a character, from what the setup of Force Awakens was, from what I expected to move forward. And don't tell me that you shouldn't have had expectations, because everybody and their mom that is telling you not to have expectations was posting stuff like, what do you think Snoke's going to be about? What do you think Rey's going to be about? But now, since it wasn't solved, we shouldn't have done that. But you did that.
Right.
You all did that.
That's true. I've seen a lot of people saying...
You all were curious what it was.
Yeah.
But now that it's not solved and you want everything about this movie to be perfect, you say we shouldn't have done that. Well, you did it. Yeah. So what do you... You don't want other people to do it now because now they're upset because they didn't do anything with it?
All these media people and these types have been stoking the flames the whole past 2 years.
Yeah. Now they want you to not have done that.
And now you did you did that. It's so refreshing. What do you want to be? Something different? Well, not...
No, I didn't want really. This. That's for sure. So, for me, it's back to the books. It's back to the Zahn trilogy, the EU books. Everything that was established that took our classic characters and
did something took their lives
forward from where they were there. Didn't change them. Maybe put them through ups and downs and trials and, you know, failures, and but never changed them as characters. Like, flat out changed what they were. Like, built-in character traits. Didn't change it. So I'm back to that. And these are fan fiction that's got a big budget behind it.
That's what it feels like.
But it's fan fiction because it's so far apart from what there was before.
Yeah.
Those books and those novels and those comics, they took the groundwork that was laid and built off of it and gave you the characters that you knew and love, and this erased them.
Yeah.
So if you liked it, great for you. I didn't. This will probably be the last time I talk about this film, hopefully.
Yeah,
I don't want to see episode 9. It's the first Star Wars I've ever left with absolutely no desire to see what happens next. Even the prequels, I wanted to know what happened next. Like, okay, how are you going to fix this? How are you going to do this? What's going to happen with this character? What's going to cause Anakin to get this dark?
Mm-hmm.
How are we going to move from here? What's going to happen between Obi-Wan and Anakin? I was least interested. I had no interest in Rey, what happens with her, Finn, Leia. I don't care. Because they just beat it out of me with this movie.
Yeah.
So, as far as ranking the films go, it's Episode 5 comes in first, Episode 4, Episode 6, Rogue One, The Force Awakens, Episode 1, Episode 3, Episode 2, Episode 8.
Yep. And I'm done, too. I'm just done. Like I said, I don't need... I
don't need Han Solo.
I hate the
anything
Disney Star Wars. I hate the obligation of...
Yeah.
You're going to watch this, whether you want it or not, whether you like it or not. And I don't want to harp on it, but the reiterating that everybody I've not like critics who are saying, like on Rotten Tomatoes, it has a 96% fresh, I think.
92 or 93,
whatever.
54% on the
Okay. Audience score. Yeah, so whatever it is, but you start reading the critics' actual reviews, and most of them are they have a lot of the same problems. Yeah. They're like, this, you know, this is very flawed and blah blah blah. Yep. But well, then it's not actually fresh, is
it's
it?
It's not.
So
I want to say one more thing, real quick, about Rotten Tomatoes and that audience score. Now the audience score is super low.
Yeah.
So is the score over at IMDb. I think it's pretty low, and there's some other site that's it's pretty average. Like it's not really a great score as in keeping with what the critics are saying. Well, I think some Facebook site that said down with Disney Star Wars or something like that. This guy mouthed off to somebody in private message saying we've got bots and we re-rigged that Rotten Tomatoes audience score. And every site was picking up as if it was gospel. Like this guy, right. Could it be that he really did rig it? Is that why the audience score is so low? And multiple people that are defending it go, well, that's the only reason the audience score is low, because this guy did it. So one guy on a nameless Facebook page says he did it and you take it as gospel. Rotten Tomatoes came out and said, the score is legit. We've looked into it. These are legit ratings from legit different people. It's not bots. This is a legit score. Very few sites are picking up the rebuttal to that.
Right.
But they're running with, it's the alt-right and these guys that are making the score low.
Yeah.
They're just running with it like crazy. But when Rotten Tomatoes itself comes out and tells you flat out, legit score.
Yeah.
Legit. Same with that petition where the guy petitioned that to be removed. It's up to like 50,000 signatures or something. And people are saying, well, that's all fake. Those are all fake signatures. It's just a bunch of fake signatures. Same as this thing with Rotten Tomatoes. Change.org came out and said, nope, they're real signatures. These are all, we do a very careful process of weeding out fake ones.
Yeah.
Sometimes you'll see different little drops where we weeded out fake signatures and fake accounts. These are real. But nobody picks up on that. They just don't want to admit that this is legitimately people. It's a very divided take on the film.
What's weird to me is that it's almost that people are taking a political stance almost like this is like they're so set on defending it that once again, like truth is bent or they're running with these things or Brock Lesnar's son, Brock Lesnar's going to play Drago's son. Yep. And it's just
whatever fits their agenda the film, they'll run with
something with something like Justice League. I think the audience score was high and the critic score was pretty low, or Batman versus Superman was definitely that way, where the audience score was much higher and the critic score was much lower. And I remember, you know, people are there. There was some heated between the two, but it wasn't like I guess maybe it was. I don't know,
it was this heated,
but I don't know why it's like.
Or I feel like if you say you don't like the film, you better watch out because they're going to come after you.
Yeah,
it's well, really,
if they're doing that with, you know, spreading false.
Yeah.
You know, rumors about Rotten Tomatoes and that's the sins of omission are worse because it's like a newspaper printing an article on first page and then not printing a retraction later if they're wrong, or, you know, putting a little segment, a little blurb back in the back where nobody's going to see it. It's the same thing.
Totally.
You're not reporting it, not because you didn't hear it, but because there's some sort of agenda behind it.
Yeah.
And what I don't get is why do you have an agenda for a Star Wars movie?
Unless there's something in the Star Wars movie that is an agenda.
Yeah, maybe that's.
I got taken to task because I shared a article that had that quote from Mark Hamill because it omitted things, that the quote was taken out of context. Even though the article itself flat out said that Rian Johnson was the right man for the job, and it explained, you know, Mark saying that he did come around and did these things, and all, the article I was taken to task because you're spreading falsities and you're antagonizing and rabble rousing and based off of something that's half untrue and you're spreading falseness. But yet I don't see any of that when it comes to what I'm talking about.
Other stuff. Yeah.
Where you don't get taken to task by saying this Rotten Tomatoes audience score is wrong because it got murdered by these bots or something. It's you didn't take them to task when, so why? Because I shared an article with a quote from the actor and even an explanation as to where it comes from. I get taken to task for it.
I'll tell you why. And I don't know this guy personally, but with everything in politics and everything, how people are divided, it's because people are choosing sides with things, not truth. People don't choose truth as a side. So if you're a Republican and a Republican senator does something bad, you don't sweep it under the rug. You say, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Yeah.
that guy doesn't speak for me or anybody else, and he did something wrong. And the same for, you know, Democrats, yeah. And the same for Star Wars, you know, like, I really love the movie, but, you know, apparently I was wrong about apparently a bunch of other people don't like it, yeah. Because that's the truth about the matter.
Yeah, it's very divided.
And it's sad that people are not adherent to truth first,
yeah.
And pick your sides either based on that or in spite of it, but...
Well, I'm never for...
It's just picking sides, and so you didn't like it, and so I'm going to address that only.
Yeah, I don't know. I wish...
It's sad.
I'm not meaning to harp too much on just that conversation that I had online, because, I mean, I don't know where he was coming from with it. He might have had a bad day, may have seen a bunch of other things, and that was why maybe mine was just the one that pushed him over, and he felt like arguing with me about it, but I don't ever like you going after and kind of throwing insults at somebody because they don't like something. And it felt like insults that I was getting, especially in this conversation, for not liking something. Because I didn't like it. I wasn't grown up, or I was a whiner, or I was a hater, right. Because I didn't like something. And that's pretty ridiculous to be that way. Yeah. If you like it, that's great. If you don't like it, that's great too. You know, tell me why you don't like it. Tell me why you like it. My friend John, in another thread I posted, he said, I'm truly curious, the people that say they like it, what did you like about it? Like you said, nobody responded. It just went,
yeah.
Nobody said anything to him. They were sure to jump on ones that didn't like stuff and right. Tell why you're stupid for not liking it. But they didn't ever say in that thread why they liked it. Like, he was really curious what he should like about it,
yeah. But
it wasn't there. Okay, we got to stop. It's the Christmas season. We've ranted and raved at the end of this thing here, but there was nothing we could do about it.
Tis the season.
Completely topical. Star Wars is a big part of the show. Last Jedi has been built up for a while, so we had to address this, and it's right before Christmas, and I'm sorry that it didn't turn out right.
Feliz Navidad.
That's how it goes. If we lose your listeners over it, I'm sorry about that too, but...
We'll be down to two.
Sometimes we got to say our opinions, whether they're the ones you want to hear or not.
Feliz Navidad.
Okay, so Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays. Next episode, we promise it'll be more fun.
May the Force be with you.
Yeah. I could have said we're going to spend too much time on it, but it was an hour and 20 minutes.
I knew.
I'm still recording.
There's no way.
There's no way.
There's no way.
Once you get rolling, you can't stop it.
That you could just sum up.
You can't.
With all the stuff that I heard.
An hour and 20 minutes we were on this one. Hour and 22.
Well, I didn't plan to talk about Alien Covenant. That took a chunk.
That did. But that's okay. It was, you know.
I could have done the exact same rant about that movie at the except I'm not as attached to it.
Well, that way we still had a good episode before the Last Jedi stuff started. So if you wanted an episode, you got that chunk before you had to shut it off. All right, I'm really hitting stop.